Hey there, friendly listeners, buddies, best friends. Remember that one time when Tom and Matt and Randy and me were talking about that whole podcast award nomination thingy?
Yeah, podcastawards.com. So yeah, if you guys like us at all, I mean, besides giving us an iTunes rating and whatever, go to Podcast Awards and nominate us. And then after you nominate us, come back and then vote for us after we get in.
First things first, nominate us. And what can we be nominated for? What do we want to be nominated for?
Yeah, the categories, yeah.
I would say our best shot is probably in religion inspiration.
Oh, I hate that. I guess there might be some things that are, but what kind of like anti-religion inspiration stuff, don't you think?
Why don't you go ahead and slap a label on all of us at once?
I'm just saying,
dick.
You don't think? Like, we're religious inspirational?
Yeah, yeah. Not really.
No.
Inspirational? Come on. Yeah.
Well, guess what? We did get nominated, so thank you for that. And what did we get nominated for? For religious inspiration. Thank you, universe. So here's the deal. You can vote for us. We'd love for you to vote for us. In fact, you can vote for us once every day per IP address. So look for the details on our website under our news tab, or just go straight to the website, podcastawards.com. Voting ends on March 24th, 2015. So get out there and show us your love, because we've already shown you ours.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode. Hi, I'm Scott, and welcome back to another edition of Infants on Thrones. In this minisode, we'll take a little trip down memory lane and examine the recent history of dissent in the LDS Church. Specifically, dissent in the doctrinally approved form. That's right, despite the Mormon Church being so conservative and apparently abhorring dissent, there is this pesky doctrinal requirement that they actually take a vote and allow their members to dissent. If you were raised LDS, you probably realize I'm referring to the sustaining of church officers that is held in General Conference twice per year.
The Doctrine and Covenants of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Section 124. Revelation given to Joseph Smith the prophet at Nauvoo, Illinois.
And a commandment I give unto you, that you should fill all these offices and approve of those names which I have mentioned, or else disapprove of them at my general conference.
Now before you go telling me in that Brother Jake voice, "Hey Scott, the voting of church officers is merely perfunctory and reinforces the perception of unanimity among the members by asking for a vote which has and always will be unanimous," before you go saying that, just listen to some audio. Back in 1977, October conference, a man politely raised his hand and opposed the sustaining vote then held in the tabernacle. But Elder N. Eldon Tanner didn't notice the man and proclaimed the vote unanimous until the man actually spoke up. Roll the tape.
Alexander Schreiner, Chief Tabernacle Organist, Robert Cundy, Roy Darley, and John Longhurst, Tabernacle Organists. All in favor, please manifest it. Contrary, if there be any, by the same sign. It seems, President Kimball, that the voting has been unanimous in favor of these officers and general authorities. And we'd ask those new members of the first quorum of the 70 to take their seats with their brethren, please.
President Tanner? President Tanner?
Yes?
Did you know my name to vote?
No, let me see it. Who is it?
He's up in the gallery.
Oh, up here. We'll ask you to see Elder Hinckley immediately after this meeting.
I'll play back the portion of that clip with the audio amplified so that you can hear the man asking, President Tanner, did you note my negative vote?
President Tanner?
Yes?
Did you note my negative vote?
No, let me see it. Who is it?
He's up in the gallery.
Oh, up here.
Now, as far as I can tell, this is the first time in recent history that anyone had cast an opposing vote in General Conference, and it certainly seemed to catch the general authorities unprepared. It's interesting to note that there is no video available on LDS.org for this session of conference, that is, the October 1977 conference, even though the other sessions do have the video on the website. The next general conference was in April of 1978, and this time Elder N. Eldon Tanner started out by addressing the fact that someone had opposed in the prior conference.
Before presenting these names for your sustaining vote, I should like to remind you that in the October conference we had one dissenting vote, and there was some misunderstanding about it. Somebody said I treated him very curtly. I'd just like to explain what takes place. If anyone or a number of people are presenting a dissenting vote, we give them the opportunity to go to one of the general authorities to explain to that general authority why he feels that the person is not qualified. And if he's found not qualified, then we take the necessary action. If any of the ushers see any contrary vote, and I can't see it from here, I wish you'd let me know.
There was no opposing vote in this session. The next session, in October of 1978, was when the revelation on race was put to a vote, without opposition. The next few years were also quiet, until, in October 1980, some women vocally opposed President Kimball. They were supporters of the ERA at a time when that issue was at the national forefront. Here's the clip.
Propose that we sustain President Spencer W. Kimball as prophet, seer, and revelator, and president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All in favor, please manifest it. Contrary, by the same sign.
No!
President Romney, it appears that there are three negative votes. This is to advise those so voting that they may meet with Elder Gordon B. Hinckley of the Council of the Twelve following this session. Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll notice there were two voices speaking to the audience. The first is Marion G. Romney, and as soon as the opposing votes were cast, Elder Bruce R. McConkie jumped right up to the podium and took control. At the end, Elder Romney seemed somewhat unsure what to call the voting.
Those opposed, by the same sign. It seems President Kimball that the voting has been unanimous, except as the all except those already noted, in favor of these officers and the general authorities.
The next session in April of 1981 was very interesting. Typically, the church goes through the entire list of the president, the first presidency, and the quorum of the 12, regardless of changes, and then they introduce the new 70s, etc. In this session, however, the church leaders, in seeking to avoid the bother of acknowledging dissenting votes, decided to only list the 170 that they were adding. They did not go through the entire list of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles and higher callings. The ERA supporters can still be heard to shout no to the sustaining of all the other officers, but this is now, for the first time, ignored. Unlike in previous sessions, they did not acknowledge the dissenting votes, they did not invite those dissenting to come and state their reasons, and they did not say anything about the vote being unanimous or not unanimous.
The Tabernacle Choir has just rendered praise to the Lord. It is proposed that we sustain Brother Angel Abrea as a member of the First Quorum of the 70. All in favor, please manifest it. Any opposed, so manifest it. With the exception of Brother Abrea, whom we have just sustained, there have been no other changes since the last General Conference. It is proposed, therefore, that we sustain all the general authorities and general officers of the Church as at present constituted. All in favor, manifest it. contrary, if there be any, by the same sign. We shall now be pleased to hear from our beloved friend and leader, President Spencer W. Kimball, President of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. President Kimball.
The supporters can be heard to shout, "No, support the Equal Rights Amendment." I'll play it again amplified. By October of 1981, the church was definitely anticipating the opposition and decided to just talk over those opposing and ignore them.
It is proposed that we sustain Gordon B. Hinckley as a counselor in the First Presidency. All in favor, please manifest it. Any opposed may so manifest it. It is also proposed that we sustain Elder Neil A. Maxwell as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. All in favor, please manifest it. Any opposed may so manifest it. It is also proposed that we sustain Elder G. Homer Durham as one of the presidents of the First Quorum of the 70. Those in favor, please manifest it. Any opposed may so manifest it. With the exception of these brethren whom we have just sustained, there have been no other changes in the general authorities since the last conference. It is proposed, therefore, that we sustain all of the general authorities and general officers of the church as at present constituted. Those in favor, please manifest it. Those opposed, by the same sign. Thank you.
By April of 1982, Gordon B. Hinckley sounds pretty much fed up with the opposition and General Conference. They again did a very abbreviated sustaining vote and had no changes to the general authorities, and once again ignored those voting in opposition.
There have been no changes among the general authorities since the last General Conference. It is therefore proposed that we sustain all of the general authorities and general officers of the church as at present constituted. All in favor manifested by the uplifted hand. Contrary, if there be any, by the same sign. The Tabernacle Choir will now sing with a voice of singing. Following the singing, we shall hear from President Ezra Taft Benson, President of the Council of the 12 Apostles.
It appears that since then, nobody has made a vocal opposition in General Conference. I wonder why this is. With many thousands of disaffected Mormons constantly posting online about issues of history, gender, and sexual orientation, why hasn't anyone gotten into General Conference and actually voiced their disapproval of the church's current stance on those issues? Were these activists in the 70s and the 80s more courageous? In today's climate, this vocal show of dissent seems pretty ballsy. I've considered that people have not objected like this in recent years precisely because they have forums like the internet to vent their frustration. As helpful as those outlets can be, I want to consider whether or not that kind of quote-unquote activism has anywhere near the impact and image that a person standing and opposing in a crowd would have. I think some people see objecting in General Conference as a meaningless protest that would only serve to fuel the persecution complex of members. As if the church were to care when one person or even a group of people object. The church would not budge. It would merely claim that it was persecuted, like Elder Oaks in recent days whining about the backlash to the church's anti-gay agenda. But consider the possibility that when the perception of unanimity is shattered, when the church is not allowed to even pretend that every member agrees with everything that they do, some people will realize that they aren't the only ones who wish things were different. Perhaps the church will escort the members who are exercising their rights in the organization out of the building. Either way, it would likely get some media coverage, and we know how the church does when it's under the media spotlight. Standing in the belly of the great and spacious building itself, being one of few to raise your hand in opposition, surrounded by people who will not understand your motives, seems like an incredibly courageous and even noble action. And perhaps a great swan song to a prior life spent in service of the church. Anyone for the closing prayer?
And just another annoyingly friendly reminder to go to podcastawards.com and make us the most reluctantly religious, inspirational podcast in the universe today.
You've been listening to If and Stand Thrones. If and Stand Thrones. If and Stand Thrones. If and Stand
Thrones. Say, please subscribe to us.
Please subscribe to us.
On iTunes.
And iTunes.
And give us feedback.
And give us feedback.
We like 5 stars.
We like 5 stars.
And go to Infants on Thrones.
And go to Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.
Yes!
.com.
.com.
That's our website.
Please find us, because this is me and Daddy speaking. Please listen to us. Goodbye.